You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Are you just going to stand there eating that sushi all night? You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculpture.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
Hi. Don't know what I was waiting for there. It's all a bit exciting. So, today on Who Arted, we've got Jay Hoon Lee, who's currently exhibiting at Ivan Anthony Gallery, a show called Liquiscope. So welcome, Jay Hoon.
Hello, hi, BFM.
Thanks for coming on. Hey, so far in your life, you've led a nomadic existence, relocating yourself between different cultural territories. A self-proclaimed cultural wanderer. I've got my fingers in quote marks when I say that. When I was doing research on you, it was all over the internet. So I'm just going to take my headphones off. So as far as I can tell, this quote came out at about 2013. I'm not sure when you actually said that. Do you still consider yourself a wanderer, or are you finding now as you get older, you're leaning towards staying in the one place for longer periods of time?
Yeah, actually, I'm a Korean immigrant in New Zealand. I came to New Zealand year 98. And, you know, since then, I constantly based in Auckland.
Okay.
But I, as an artist, you know, my art process is like, you know, going to a lot of places. It's based on, like, documenting a lot of far-flung locations.
So your roots are here now?
Yeah.
Yep. Perfect. That's good to know.
I love Auckland, yeah.
Just to give people a bit of background on you, Lee's digital photographs, video installation and sculpture have been exhibited widely in New Zealand and internationally over the past 15 years and acquired for both public and private collections. Lee was the Antarctica New Zealand Arts Fellow in 2011. He won the prestigious Wallace Arts Trust Paramount Award in 2013, including a six-month residency in the International Studio and Curatorial Program in Brooklyn, New York City. And in 2014, he was awarded the Asian New Zealand Foundation's Cementi Art House Residency in Indonesia. Now you live, work in Auckland, New Zealand. So you're often working with landscapes, sometimes very detailed and sometimes from a much wider perspective. Mm-hmm. You present them through printed surface often, or video, and they come across as vast and splendid. When experiencing your work, before I even had a chance to fully inhale, I'm captured by beauty and the beauty of and detailed symmetry, which sneaks up upon you and is omnipresent in your work. The dichotomy of which is impressively wild earth and symmetrical perfection together becomes captivating, and it's sensuous and reassuring and frightening all at the same time. So that being said, your landscapes remind us a little bit, or me, of my own insignificance, but at the same time it endorses my insignificance by its synchronized self-aware presentation. It's as if the landscape could Photoshop itself, your work is how it would choose to present itself. Have you ever considered that you may be channeling the Earth's spirit through your work?
Surely, that's totally, you know, this collection of landscape I express through my work is based on my personal perspective.
Yeah, and your connection with the environment.
And definitely there, I'm looking for connection, you know, as much as connection, you know, I can link with different places.
Yeah.
So it's also, you know, I like to somehow looking at, you know, I mean, this landscape is, you know, totally exterior of the space. So it's all my surrounding, it's always. But I somehow, you know, from this surrounding, like, you know, this changing landscape, I somehow like to look toward my inside, interior of my space. So through my artwork, I somehow making, you know, connection between interior of the space and exterior of the space.
So when you go and take document your landscapes, you go into various locations, you take these beautiful images, and then you go back into your studio and you become very insular with the images, and you kind of sculpt the landscapes from what you've captured and restitch it in a way.
Yeah.
Do you live, where in Auckland, do you live in an urban setting, or are you in the bush?
Kind of in between, I'm living near Three Kings.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's like residential area. Yeah. There is some green.
Yeah.
I love to go to One Tree Park for walk.
One Tree Hill. Isn't it beautiful? Yeah, that's really beautiful.
That's my favorite part of the,
it's very
area,
pretty,
neighbor.
Isn't it? And it's got sheep still, doesn't it?
Sheep and,
Does it have any cows? I can't remember.
Yeah, cows there too sometimes. And
So you often stitch multiple photographs together in the same work, creating an image that does not capture just one moment, but rather folds many moments in the same field. Your latest exhibition, Liquidoscope consists of a large chimera prints on
metallic paper.
That sounds really beautiful. I've cut away from my sentence. On metallic paper of various expressions of water, such as giant icebergs and stormy cloudscapes. So these works seem much more fantastical than your usual works, which will be of an actual landscape, just by the depth and the breadth of the subject matter. How did you go about creating these? So you've got these, did you get in an aeroplane and dive underwater? How did you go about creating these works?
My previous working process, the way I stitch various digital source material, was about me going to far-flung location and I physically be there and collect all these source images from my trip. But for this show, Liquidoscope, I took little bit of a directional change because I mostly use source materials from online. Found images online. So it's all made from Auckland. I didn't go any long trip to,
that's interesting because there's so much more removed than, because they're so far flung, but you've actually spent more time inside the insular sort of environment of your studio. So they're huge images. They're really beautiful and quite overpowering. They're over a meter high. When you're looking on the internet, did you stitch elements of clouds together, or did you, because it's hard to get a very high resolution image. How did you find them, and did you stitch them together by actually just brushing? Do you use the tools in Photoshop? Do you use the paintbrush, and do you start brushing actual surfaces over to blend bits together? Or do you clone tool, or what do you use in that?
I'm completely
disclosing the technical stuff.
Yeah, for Photoshop process, I just organically use all the possible tools that I'm allowed to use.
Yeah.
So I use a lot of cloning tool and cut and paste. And a lot of filters, plastic filters around this, so make it more like
three-dimensional.
Make this surface of a photography much more exaggerated in some sense.
And do you, with the, say for example, the big image you've got of this beautiful big kind of cloud explosion within a cloud escape. So there's clouds on the base of the image, clouds up the top, and then a huge, big, kind of almost atomic-looking cloud explosion, and then there's some lightning. Did you grab, how many images together did that? I mean, obviously lots of bits and bobs, but how many main images? How did you bring that one together?
For that particular image, I guess it's about 10 different images, source images stitched together.
And what inspired you to work this way this time, as opposed to going on site and taking photographs?
I somehow, you know, this day I'm more looking at, you know, some other, like, found image.
Yeah.
Rather than I go to
yeah.
physical location and take a picture.
Yeah.
So it's all about somehow, like, you know, give me, like, virtual experience.
Yeah. It's a different kind of exploration, isn't it?
Yeah, like I still have a, you know, element of exploration there, but it's very different take somehow.
Yeah, it's a lot faster. It's like you can
a lot faster.
Yeah, and more, you can travel on one single. It's because it's less prescribed. You can really kind of travel quite quickly through a various thought process and bring it to fruition much faster than if you're booking a ticket, waiting to take the flight, taking the photographs, developing
them. That's right.
Yeah, and so there's a. It's more, I think it's very potent. So the majesty of your work reminds me, in a little way, of traditional landscape painting and the way that you make nature so desirable. Do you ever consider yourself, and this, I'm not sure if you would, but that you could be a landscape painter in a, I use that term very loosely, using modern tools?
I always admire Van Gogh and Turner.
Yep, I guess.
And also, you know, this morning I was looking at Colin Mackens.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful landscape painting.
Yeah.
So somehow, you know, I consider myself as like landscape painters.
Yeah.
Or somewhere in between, like photographer and painters. You know.
A storyteller.
But, yeah. Storyteller. Yeah.
Visual.
You know, I. You know, hopefully I, you know, give some, you know, somehow express something more than landscape.
Yeah. You know? Oh, you but do. I wasn't meaning that in a way that was restrictive. What's up next in the world for you? What are you up to these? What are you up to in the next? What's coming up?
Yeah. For this year, I have a on November this year, I have a show coming at Robert Hill the Gallery. In Wellington, Robert Hill Gallery.
Oh yeah, cool.
So another, you know, solo show ahead in.
Any travel plans?
6 months, and I'm not particularly planned yet, but I like to go somewhere.
Yeah, it's important to get out of the country. And where has been your favorite place? Obviously Auckland, obviously Three Kings, but apart from that, where's been one of the favorite places you've resided in the last 10 years?
Could be anywhere, but I've been to India in year 2009.
Yeah.
So somehow I like to live long, like a certain duration of time in India.
Yeah.
So especially in northern part of India, like Ladakh.
Yeah. What inspires you about that area?
Landscape again, you know, landscape, and I, you know, personally, I feel. A lot of attachment to that, you know, part of the globe.
Mm.
So,
cool. Well, that's all we've got time for this morning. But thank you for coming in and chatting to us about your work.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's just one quick question. Yeah. Liquidoscope. How did you come up with that name?
It's actually two words combined to consist of one word, liquidoscope. So liquid, like water.
Yeah.
It's always, you know, that's my, you know, perspective of looking at, you know, nature, you know.
Yeah.
This kind of, you know, like a flexible quality of the water.
Yeah.
I really like to, you know, I like to maintain with my own perspective toward the nature.
Yeah.
So liquid and scope. Of course, scope, you know, like a way you...
Perspective or...
Looking, you know?
So like the O, you've used the O to join them?
Yeah.
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Like kaleidoscope.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Ah, now that makes sense. I was like, where did he get that O from? I get it. I love it.
Yeah.
So that's on at Ivan Anthony Gallery at 312 K Road on until the 13th of May. So only another week. Get up there. Beautiful, beautiful work. Go to ivananthony.com for more details on the work. And thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me over. Thank
you're,
you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Cheers. Cool. Yep. Thanks, guys. Sounds very interesting.
Okay, cool.
All right. High five, everyone. Yay.
Cool. See you guys later.
Okay.
Ooh, I like this.
Trey chic.
Trey cool.
Touché.
Chin chin.
That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.